Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.
Good day and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Father Matt Malone, editor-in-chief of America Magazine.
And I'm Carrie Weber, executive editor at America. And each week we offer you the news and analysis from the intersection of the church and the world, gathered by our team at America Media.
And one of our team joins us here in the studio, Ashley McKinless, who is an associate editor at America, and one of the three co-hosts of the Jesuitical podcast, which people can find at americamagazine.org.
Indeed. I think we've had a Jesuitical co-host on the last couple of weeks now, so they're getting consistent
feels like a plot.
Hello.
Yes, exactly. Well, our listeners know that every week we talk about the analysis that we have in that issue of America Magazine, or the latest analysis that we have at americamagazine.org, or we talk about the news. Not every week that America Magazine makes news, which we did yesterday by releasing the most comprehensive survey of American Catholic women ever done. And that's probably a great segue to Megan Suisse, who is joining us. And she has a piece in the latest issue of America called "For Catholic Women, the Relationship Between Faith and Politics is Subtle and Sometimes in Conflict." And you can find that and all of that we're talking about today at americamagazine.org/women.
Yeah, Megan Suisse, she manages the USC's Center for Religion and Civic Culture's website. She's a director of communications and an editor there. She helps the researchers there sort of communicate those findings. She's also an author herself of a book called Putting Education to Work: How Cristo Rey High Schools Are Transforming Urban Education. And she's written a lot about religion and politics and faith and culture. And so we were very happy to have her in this issue today. Megan Suisse, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, and also thanks for letting me work on this survey. It was a really fascinating project.
Yeah, we were really glad to have you. I wonder if maybe, was there something as you did your reporting that struck you as sort of surprising as you were looking through these stats?
Well, I think the most surprising data points to me was I had been under the impression that the Catholics had won or Catholics had sided with Trump in the 2016 election. And it turns out, according to a later analysis of the 2016 election, that Catholics actually sided with Hillary Clinton 48% to 45%. And, of course, that was largely pushed by Hispanic and younger Catholics who tend to be more Democratic across the board, not only in this survey, but in surveys in general. So that's not surprising to see that racial division. But I was surprised sort of to see the influence of women, too, that they tend to be more liberal. And the sociologists I talked to said that does reflect the numbers in this survey reflected what they had found, too. Briefly, the 59% of Catholic women in this survey said that they are Democratic or lean Democratic, and 55% of those who intend to vote in 2018 plan to vote Democratic. So that's sort of an interesting breakdown, and I think it would be really interesting to see where women played such a significant role in the Alabama vote. Would love to see the Catholic vote break down there, but
right.
But unfortunately that information is not available.
Did that accord with your instincts? How Catholic women identified with one political party?
Well, I wasn't expecting that. I guess I knew about the racial divisions and the age divisions, but I did not know about the gender division, so it was interesting to see that. And certainly we did see in the past year that women have played sort of a significant role from the Women's March and to the Alabama election in various efforts to help the Democratic Party regain its power. So that was really sort of surprising to me.
Right, and 74% of Catholic women overall said that they plan to vote in the midterm election. So this is a population that needs to be paid attention to.
Yeah, exactly. That is a significant number, of course. A lot of people have intentions to vote, so
right.
we'll
right.
have to see what right. actually happens.
Exactly, because that's
right.
significantly
be for the analysis.
Higher than the mm-hmm. national average.
But you know, even if they were to, even if they were to vote at a rate of 60%, that's a significant block in the
yes,
electorate,
it.
And
yeah.
And their views, as we found in the survey, and you found in your own reporting, they don't. It's complex, right? I mean, they don't
yeah.
necessarily neatly align with one party or the other.
Well, I think when Carrie approached me and told me about this project, I think the thing that she pointed out to me was that there seemed to be very little influence of the Catholic Church on the political opinions of Catholic women, just in the raw numbers. That's a little bit subtle. I'll share some of the numbers. So 12% say that Catholic social teaching is influential, for instance. When it comes to U.S. bishops or parish priests, that's a little less influential. That's 9%. I'm not really surprised there because I think across the board, even Father Malone mentioned some of our other Christian brethren, even evangelical Christians often say that they don't want to hear political speeches or political endorsements from the pulpit. So I wasn't really surprised about that. 19%, so a little bit more, say that statements from Pope Francis are influential. And, of course, he usually ends up as being more popular than the local bishops or the U.S. bishops in sort of popularity rankings. So that's not surprising. But it is sort of a small percentage who are saying in general that the Catholic Church isn't going to influence them. But when you look at the individual issues, it's more like half to even up to two-thirds who say either Catholic Church teachings is important to them personally or it will affect their vote. And the environment and abortion are the most significant issues for Catholic women, followed by migration and refugees, the death penalty. There's least amount of agreement on physician-assisted suicide, same-sex marriage, and artificial birth control. So there is when you talk about those individual issues, there does seem to be this influence.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily straightforward. For instance, whether you the most common one for abortion was, you know, whether you believed that was something that was personally important to you versus a policy issue became a very big point for a lot of the Democratic women that I talked to.
So when you move from the abstract to the, does Catholic social teaching influence you to the specific issues, you see a kind of subtle shift, as it were. And, you know, when we took a deeper dive into the data, and I saw those numbers too around the environment and around abortion, I thought to myself, you know, in a certain kind of congressional district where you have, this population forms a vital part of the electorate, a pro-life Democrat could be competitive in a general election. Now, whether that pro-life Democrat could ever get to a primary is another question. But in a general election, you know, that could be. Such a candidate could be viable.
Exactly. And I actually found a lot of hope, especially talking to some of the younger women or hearing from them, that there seems to be a lot of room for agreement between the parties on traditional issues that they disagree on, and especially on those, as Sister Mary Johnson, a sociologist and research scholar, said, she looked at the data and said, these are consistent ethic of life issues. And of course, there is no real party that fits. I've heard that from so many people that there's no natural home for Catholics when it comes to those those division, which is a difficult thing. So people generally just have to prioritize their issues and look for what they think is going to be the best solution.
Right, right. But as we were saying, it's interesting because the issues that they do care about are the issues that the church cares very much about as well. So even though they sometimes say, you know, this specific statement or these bishops did not influence me, they still have a sense of what the church understands to be important, whether they understand to have received that information from a bishop or a statement or family or elsewhere.
Yeah, and as Sister Mary Johnson said, it's not that they necessarily know the term consistent ethic life or Catholic social teaching, but their lives sort of point them in the direction of these same ideas regardless. And in that way, she said that, you know, women, I heard you guys talking earlier about women sort of being leaders in the church and not recognizing it, and this is maybe perhaps one way in which there are perspectives that women have that align with the Catholic Church just out of them, their natural experiences, and they might not even connect the dots between those things.
Yeah, one of the other things that really struck me, particularly in your reporting, Megan, is that, you know, when you do dive deep into this data, you see that the women we surveyed are they're often inhabiting a tension between what they understand the teaching of the church to be, what they understand their own experience to be, what they think the right, you know, political or civic choice is. And I was very encouraged by that, because it's evident to me that people are engaged in the struggle to find their, you know, find a way forward. And so it wasn't the case that this population, you know, just outright dismissed what the church thinks about something. It takes it seriously that, you know, the people who responded may disagree with that teaching, but they still wrestle with it.
Yeah, and I think that's the hardest thing about data, is that you look at data and you're like, what does this actually mean? So I really appreciated the opportunity to do some interviews with Catholic women, and basically my strategy was to send them the exact questions as they were asked in the survey, have them answer them so I would have a sense of how they would answer them, and then go back and interview them and ask them, why did you answer the question that way? And oftentimes, you know, you found a lot more subtlety in saying, well, yeah, I don't think Catholic social teaching is influential, but yeah, I will listen to what the church has to say. I'm going to make my own decision at the end, but there is a grappling there for sure.
So we've talked a lot about how there is this wide agreement on certain consistent ethic of life issues, but I think most people, when they think about politics right now, do not think of the words wide agreement. So we're living in a very polarized time in this country. So I'm wondering if you did see any of that polarization reflected in the data, and if not, why do you think that is, Yeah, did you see any evidence of that divisive conversation we're having in U.S. politics right now?
Well, I mean, when you come to the specific issues, when you look at those top issues of environment and abortion, you do see that the vast majority of Democrats are going to say the environment is the most, or church teachings on the environment are the most important to them. Versus for Republicans, they'll say church teachings on abortion are most important to them. So you see that division. What I found was interesting was that at the same time, you had 40% of Democrats saying that church teaching on abortion is very important to them. And you have 40% of Republicans saying church teaching is very important to them. So I remember talking to CU, the Catholic University of America student who is a Republican, and she said, you know, Catholic social teaching, and she's very much in these conversations. A lot of the people I actually talk to tend to be more educated and more informed about politics and religion just because they're willing to talk about it with someone, which, you know, those topics aren't things that you usually talk about in public company. So the fact that she was able to say, you know, Catholic social teaching really does challenge me on the environmental issues, and I'm not sure what to do with that, what to make of it. So there is that room for a coming together at the same time as you do see you see that division, at least on the specific issues.
Yeah, I think that willingness to be challenged is very important, because it reflects an openness to that conversation that's required to sort of move the country in a more positive direction in terms of unity.
Yeah, and I think the difficult part of it is, you know, it would have been great. We actually attempted, both America and attempted to sort of find more representative people to interview through the survey and try to find people who aren't necessarily engaged in that conversation every day on their campus or in their parish ministry. But I'd be curious of what they would have to say about that and if they're having those conversations or having those thoughts, but it's hard to say.
And Megan, one of the things that we know about Catholics, generally speaking, both men and women, is from the polling, not this poll, but other polling, is that Catholics tend to be the Christian population that is most favorable to same-sex marriage among the general Catholic population. Did you talk about those issues at all in your conversations?
Yeah, I did, and that it was one of the least popular issues in terms of what Catholic social teaching. In fact, I was actually surprised considering other polling that something around 40% said Catholic social teaching was important to them on same-sex marriage. At the same time, the sociologist sort of pointed out to me that a lot of people, Catholic social teaching can be ambiguous in places, and this one is one of those places. So, for instance, someone might look at the Catholic social teaching about, the desire not to discriminate or ideas about loving your neighbor, and they might interpret from that Catholic social teaching can actually wind up being in favor of supporting same-sex marriage. So they might actually think it's influential when we know as people who follow the church that is not the official standing of the church. So that's sort of interesting. I did find that, personal experience, either knowing someone who is gay or being gay yourself, really did influence how much you were willing to listen to the church on that issue and also on other issues as well. I talked to one woman who is in her 70s and married to her partner and has had bad experiences in terms of being welcomed at the church. And she said, I'm when I go to church, it's for the community, it's for the worship, but I don't want to hear about the politics at all. So it really sort of put a sour taste in her mouth for anything political.
Did you find any interesting kind of generational differences in going through the data and in doing your interviews? Openness versus older Catholic women and younger Catholic women?
Yeah, and from the broader sociological data, we know that the so-called millennial generation, those who are born around, I think, after the 80s or basically less than 30 or 35, tend to be less religious. There's about 30% of that generation is unaffiliated from any religion, and the Catholic Church has particularly suffered in that generation in terms of people who are affiliated with the Catholic Church. So they tend not to be as someone who are going to take the religious message as deeply. At the same time, the people that I spoke with are people who are very much within the Catholic realm, as, for instance, this student at Catholic University of America, who clearly is very much in that world and is very thinking about these issues deeply. Both her and she leaned Republican, and someone her age who leans Democrat, they both said, I don't know what influence that growing up in the Obama era, where you had the first African-American president and you have Pope Francis becoming Pope and having this different emphasis, that could have an influence on the way that they approach politics and faith. And they were both aware of that, and which seemed really interesting to me that they had that awareness to even think about that question.
Yeah, and another woman you spoke to who she leaned Democrat. She admitted that she agrees with Pope Francis on the environment, but she already held those views, and Pope Francis confirmed them. So is there a way to really tell from the data which way the causation is going, or is that something we need to be careful about drawing conclusions from?
I think that is probably one of the limits of survey data versus interviews, and you can ask about influence, but what does influence mean? So one sociologist said that, maybe you should be only looking at who says it's very influential, because maybe the folks who say it's very influential are the ones that are actually having it's a causal impact. But a lot of the conversations I had, you said, yeah, I may agree with the Catholic Church on this, and I see it as influential, but it's in a way that it's confirmed everything that I, learned growing up from my family, or from growing up in the civil rights era, or growing up in the Obama era. Those are all things that are influential. What I thought was really interesting was the perspective of, as I mentioned, Sister Mary Johnson before, and also moral theologian Megan Clark, who both said, experience, we often underestimate how much our faith shapes our experiences, those things that we say. So we might not say that the Catholic Church is influencing us, but the Catholic Church may be influencing our experiences and how we interpret our experiences. And then we go out from there to, so that question of influence is very difficult.
Right.
To
right.
Sort of,
and the Catholic, the church teaching makes room for that, the role of experience, right? You say, you mentioned that the church emphasizes having an informed conscience, which can be informed by teaching, but also by people's experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we have a couple of minutes left, Megan. I wonder whether, as you look at the data and you conducted these interviews, as people, the leadership of the church, people who minister in the church, both men and women, as they think about how to craft a pastoral strategy in response to these findings, what do you think are the most important things that they need to pay attention to?
Well, that's a really great question. I think that's something that I didn't get to really include in the story, but something that all of the experts in particular talked about, and it stood out to them as really strong. And actually, I learned something new yesterday in the video that you all produced for this special survey. And Carrie, you said at the end that the most common reason for women to consider leaving the church was a disagreement with the church on an issue. And what the experts said, women make up a large portion of the people who are actually in the pews, and they also play a significant role in passing on the faith to the next generation, and even, in a way, keeping men in the pews as well.
Right.
So their point was, it's essential for the church to listen to women. As I said before, a lot of our experiences can result in Catholic social teaching and influencing whether it's in the environmental thought of the church or something else. But the church also has to speak to them in a way that resonates with women. And I think that's a difficult thing to do because there are such disagreements within Catholic women and what they want to hear from the church. But at least it needs to be in conversation with them and not just having a one-way one-way path.
Well, the piece is called For Catholic Women, the Relationship Between Faith and Politics is Subtle and Sometimes in Conflict. And it's by Megan Suisse, who has been our guest today. Megan, thanks so much for being with us, and thanks for your contributions to America.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. People can find that story by Megan Suisse at americamagazine.org/SiriusXM or /women, where they can also find the comprehensive survey, and you can slice and dice that data any way you like.
Look at the data all you want. Just just read it all.
Right. Yeah.
Take a cup of coffee, sit on your porch, enjoy it, go to the beach.
We look by, age and, various demographics. And
mass attendance.
Political affiliation, mass attendance. And I do want to say one thing before we close, which is that we saw on social media yesterday after this was released some folks saying, well, we should really only listen to the ones who go to Mass every week because those are the real Catholics. And that is really an odious way of thinking because that's not who we are. These women are baptized. They understand themselves to be Catholic. And if we want them to come to Mass, we have to know why they're not.
Yeah,
and
you can't write off an entire segment of the population.
Right. And, besides, there are no good Catholics. There are just Catholics trying to be good.
And we're trying to be among those ones.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we desperately hope and pray that we are among those trying to be good. I know I do, almost every hour on the hour. So you have been listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. For more, on all of the issues that we talked about today, you can visit us at americamagazine.org/SiriusXM. You can find links to the content that we mentioned in our conversation, and of course, this groundbreaking survey of American Catholic women. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. And to subscribe to America Magazine, call 1-800-627-9533. That's 1-800-627-9533 for a smart Catholic take on faith and culture. For Carrie Weber and Ashton McKinless, I'm Father Matt Malone. Thank you and good day.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to listen to more, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern on the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.